Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As recorded by the four Gospels, the story of Jesus' earthly ministry ends with both his ascension into heaven and his great commission of the disciples to be his witnesses even to the ends of the earth. Which means that the end of one story immediately leads to the start of another. That is, it becomes the disciple stories, and, as it turns out, ours as well. But how will that story begin? Based on the story from the first chapter of Acts, here's today's message, which is entitled, What Next? It stands among the most dramatic scenes found in Holy Scripture, Jesus' ascension into heaven, in which he is carried out of the disciples' sight into heaven on a cloud. It's perhaps the quintessential moment of farewell in all of human history, one that underscores the glory of God's awesome presence, the commissioning of his disciples, and his promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And for those 11 disciples of Jesus, it was the end of a long journey begun some 3 years before. How they were following an itinerant rabbi by the name of Jesus. How it was a journey filled with great signs and miracles. The remarkable news of a kingdom come from God, and then an excruciating death, which was followed by an impossible, utterly preposterous, and yet undeniable resurrection from the dead. And the story went on from there. They'd seen the risen Christ, these disciples. They'd shared a meal with him. They had eaten broiled fish on the beach with him. They'd received his blessing and they'd heard some final teachings from their master. But now, after all of this, their story, that is the disciples' stories, was seemingly coming to an end. Or was it? Given what Jesus had just said to them about being his witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth? Could it be, maybe, perhaps, it's just the beginning? That's why it just makes perfect sense to me that after it was all over, even as they were still gazing up towards heaven, perchance to catch one last little glimpse of Jesus before he completely disappeared from their sight, that the disciples would already be looking to one another and saying to each other, and maybe even saying to no one in particular, what next? What next? You know, one of the great joys that are mine as a grandparent are those moments when Sylvie and I get to share music together. I love listening to music with Sylvie. And by the way, you know you have young children in your life when the song that's stuck in your head at the end of the day is not a much beloved hymn or an even a classic 60s Beach Boy tune, but in fact, hop, little bunny, hop, hop, hop. But I love it. I love that I've been reintroduced to music for young children. But even more than listening to this music with Sylvie, I love listening to Sylvie listening to music. The other day, I'm in the car with her. We've got tunes playing. I'm trying to introduce her to a little bit of VeggieTales, don't you know? And sometimes, you know, it's just a phrase or two. Sometimes it's the whole song because she is a very gifted child, after all. Sylvie's singing along. But you know what? The best part for me is after the song is done. Lately, you see, when the song is over, you can hear her in the back in her car seat saying, what neck? What neck? In fact, it happens just about after every song. What next? What's next? She is so excited about what the next song's going to be. The next song she gets to hear. The next song she's going to be able to sing. It's like in that split second between songs on the playlist, this little girl is totally filled up with joy, excitement, and utter anticipation of the moment that's just about to come. And the other day as we're driving, I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, is that great? And oh, that it were always like that in life. Our days ever filled with endless possibilities. So much so that we can't help but say, what's next? What next? What's going to happen now? What big adventure is about to begin? And what kind of wonders will there be to discover? I can hardly wait to find out. Of course, as card-carrying grown-ups, we tend to lose that sense of joyous anticipation, don't we? These days, correct me if I'm wrong here, when we hear or speak the words, what next? We're more inclined to feel a sense of dread than one of excitement. Another car repair, a messed up medical bill, broken pipes at the camp. Good grief, what next? And how much is it going to cost me? Or maybe the question arises out of concern for the direction that the world is headed. What next? Or maybe it's simply regarding all the changes we end up having to face in life that leave us feeling at the very least apprehensive about the future. To put it simply, for us adults, what next is a perfectly normal, if not altogether joyful, response to the impending course of our life's journey. And so it was, you see, for the 11 as they lingered there in the moments just following Jesus' ascension, still staring up at the sky, slack-jawed and awestruck and frankly, pretty scared to death. And like I said before, this is a response that we can understand. Remember that even now, even after everything that had happened to them with Jesus, the disciples didn't wholly understand. Well, let's face it, they still just didn't get it. They'd already asked Jesus again if this was to be the time when the kingdom would be restored to Israel, meaning that they still held that point of view that the kingdom of God was going to be something that was going to be garnered and measured politically or with military might. And even after Jesus explains to them again that it was not for them to know how or when God would act, but it was their purpose to serve as his empowered witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, that their job was to tell good news to all at home and abroad to strangers and far, far away to those on the edges of life. That they were supposed to be spreading the word and being about the work of ministry in his name with the power of the Holy Spirit, by the way. Even then, even after that exclamation, even after that great commission, well, the disciples, they're pretty much flummoxed. They don't know what to do. Excuse me, they're saying? Power? Witnesses, the ends of the earth? I mean, Lord, we're not you. There's so much we don't know, much less understand. And besides, and I can kind of hear Peter saying this, have you noticed, Lord, that we haven't exactly distinguished ourselves as disciples up to this point? But you see, whatever their protests, it didn't matter. Because now Jesus was taken out of their sight. And with their master and teacher having ascended into heaven, the disciples were left to face an uncertain future, an improbable mission, and one immediate question. What next? Of course, we know what next. We know what happened. But still, you gotta wonder if at the time, any of those first followers of Jesus ever, in their wildest imagination, could have ever believed that their first halting efforts at bearing witness to Jesus would have possibly led to his good news resounding in every corner of the globe. You wonder if any of them had any kind of inkling at all of the enormity of the task before them or of the price that they were going to have to pay for the sake of the gospel. Or if any one of them could have imagined the power and the wonder of the Holy Spirit working in and through them. You know, what's interesting here is that the Greek word for witness that's used in this passage is actually better translated as martyr, which in our understanding has become synonymous with dying for one's faith, right? But as originally understood, to be a martyr meant first and primarily to live for one's faith, to live wholly and completely for the sake of this good news of the resurrection. So, once again, you got to wonder what it was about these 11 disciples, even though they felt lacking in just about everything they needed for the task, they nonetheless and immediately focused their entire lives on being witnesses of the risen Christ. But here's the thing, lest you think that we are just talking ancient church history here, what we need to understand about our text for this morning that Cindy shared with us is that it's not only the story of the disciples. It's our story, yours and mine as well. See, like those early disciples, we too are living between the now and the not yet. A time after the resurrection of Jesus, but before his return in glory. Living amidst the kingdoms of the world, but awaiting actively for the fulfilled promise of God's kingdom coming in its fullness. The New Testament book of Acts is actually a recording of the beginning of that story, the story of what happened next. It takes us from the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, what we'll be celebrating next week, and continuing on up through Paul's imprisonment in Rome for the sake of his new Christian faith. And even then, you see, even then, that's not the end of the story, but just the beginning. There was a woman in one of the churches I served up in Maine, and she was one of those very rare individuals who always, no matter what, had a good and spiritually uplifting word to share. And this was no matter what was happening in her life or in ours. And one day after the service was over, she came through the line to greet me, and she said to me, "Now, Michael, if you really want to understand what faith is all about and what the church should be doing about that, then you really need to go and read the 29th chapter of Acts." She was filled with such conviction about this and such utter joy that I got to tell you, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, but I couldn't quite call that chapter and verse to my mind. So I went right home, I opened up my Bible, and imagine my surprise when I discovered there is no 29th chapter of Acts. Pretty clever she was. What she was reminding me is that the story of our faith, the mission of the church, the tale of our own witness is ongoing. And that God is in fact writing the 29th chapter of Acts through our lives, yours and mine, as disciples of Jesus Christ. We are called, each and every one of us, to continue the story of witnesses of the risen Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit, so that the life-changing news of God's love can be told to the ends of the earth. Understanding that today the ends of the earth could be a place as far flung as a third world nation, or it could be as close to our hearts as those around us, as those who have desperately been seeking life's fulfillment every place except in God's presence and love. Simply put, friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that each and every one of us in this room are called to be missionaries. Now, I know to our postmodern ears and in our tradition of faith, that term missionary might come off sounding a little old-fashioned, maybe even outdated. But I need to tell you something, friends, and I hope you'll agree with me when I say it. In fact, if there's ever been a time in which it is so crucial that the world hears this good news of Jesus' light and life, that they need to receive the peace and love that's embodied in God's kingdom, it's right now. As followers of Jesus, we are as such his missionaries, his witnesses, the teller of his tale. Now, more than ever before, you and I are called not to passivity where our faith is concerned. We are called to activity. And you know, if that seems like an overwhelming task, and yeah, I'm sure these days we're the ones shaking our heads and wondering, oh, what next? It's good for us to remember that Jesus was not looking for greatness in those first disciples. He was looking for faith. Because you know what? Truthfully, for all of their doubts, their rough edges, and their failures, really, what the original 11 had going for them from the very start was a true and authentic faith in God. And that is what's going to set us apart too. The Reverend Thomas Toole says this very well when he writes that what characterized the early church and what characterizes us is authenticity. God is looking for authentic people, people who are real, people who ring true. They're the kind of people, you see, that other people would like to be. God is not looking for people who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But he's looking for real people who can follow Jesus Christ and serve God with authenticity and with joy. To put this another way, for us to be true witnesses of the risen Christ does not necessarily mean that by our faith we are going to be pulled into the big events of life. But it most certainly does mean that by our faith we are going to be drawn into the everyday, seemingly small things of life in a big way. Someone once said, you know, that life is what happens to you when you're waiting for the bus. And I think that's true. So often, you and I find ourselves overly focused on the bus that's coming and where it's headed. Truthfully, we're really into the what next of our very lives, as it were. When all along, the very thing we've been seeking has always been right there at the bus stop. What we're talking about here, friends, is our own spirituality in the midst of the here and now, in and through all the moments of life, both large and small. That's the stuff of real and authentic faith. And this is what shines forth from us. And that's what is going to be seen by others. It's all pretty simple, actually. When people see a joyful, winsome, and sincere love for the Lord in us, they want to know more. And that's where the good news of the gospel gets told. And that's how it gets shared from family, to generation, to friends and to the community, and perhaps even to the ends of the earth. Who knows? But you see, it begins before any of the rest of that. It begins with our being a witness precisely in the times and in the places where we dwell. Basically, it all comes down to faithful living at the most basic and preliminary levels of daily life. But where this world is concerned, you got to know that's a pretty radical behavior in and of itself. The poet and agriculturalist and devout Christian Wendell Berry actually says it well. "Friends, every day," he writes, "do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Live resurrection." I like that, and that's pretty good advice for all of us who are on the Christian walk. Live resurrection. Live it with your families. Live it as you're raising your children. Live it amongst your friends and your neighbors. Live it as you're part of the community. Live it in the world that desperately needs life, abundant and eternal. Live it. Know it. Be it. Live resurrection. That's our calling. The question is how we're going to answer. Thanks be to God who by the power of his Spirit calls us here and now to be his witnesses. Amen and amen.
And that's the message we've entitled, What Next? It was recorded during our May the 12th service of worship at East Congregational Church, where, by the way, we would love to have you join us in person for worship. It happens every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church. We're on 51 Mountain Road, which is just off exit 16 of I-93 in beautiful Concord, New Hampshire. I would love the chance to welcome you to our worship, and I know you'll be glad you came. For now, though, that's it for this episode of the Loves to Tell the Story podcast. And today, not only do I want to thank you for listening, but as we now approach, believe it or not, the fifth anniversary of this podcast, I also want to say thank you for your continued support. I know that there are a lot of you out there who listen regularly, and I want you to know I really do appreciate it. And in that regard, I'd also love to hear from you about this podcast or anything else on your mind. You can do that by pressing the message button on the podcast page online, or you can contact me directly through the Love to Tell the Story Facebook page. Either way, I hope you'll keep in touch as we soon begin season 6 of this podcast. And until then, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.